Hello, I'm your host, Erin Gruel, and welcome to the Freedom Writers Podcast. Today's show is episode number 32, featuring my conversation with Melissa Burton, a passionate teacher who produced the Oscar-winning documentary called Period, End of Sentence. Melissa is joined by two of her stellar students who share their stories of personal growth and activism. I hope this dynamic discussion leaves you feeling enlightened and empowered to make a difference. The Freedom Writers and I often say that empowered women empower women. Throughout our time in room 203, we were constantly pushing boundaries and shattering stereotypes. We analyzed social issues and challenged stigmas around gender inequality in literature, media, and our culture. Most of the Freedom Writers were first-generation college students, and in the 20 years since graduation, both my female and male students have redefined gender roles that restricted or excluded prior generations from equal access to education and career opportunities. Education changed the trajectory of their lives, and because of that, they've gone on to empower countless others. When I was first introduced to Melissa Burton, an English teacher at Oakwood Secondary School in Los Angeles, I was so impressed by her passion and her commitment to her students. In 2012, she became the faculty sponsor for Oakwood's chapter of Girls Learn International. During the club's visit to the United Nations, Melissa and her students learned about menstrual inequality in developing countries. Unfortunately, menstruation as a whole is treated as a taboo and often impedes or even ends a girl's education. Melissa and her students took action to fight the stereotypes and shame often attributed to the subject. They created an organization called the PAD Project and made a documentary about women in India overcoming the cultural stigma surrounding menstruation. Their documentary, Period, End of Sentence, went on to win Best Short Documentary at the 2019 Academy Awards and has sparked a global conversation about women's rights and menstrual equity. As Melissa so poignantly said in her acceptance speech at the Oscars, a period should end a sentence, not a girl's education. I'm here in Melissa Burton's classroom at Oakwood Secondary School. We are joined by two of her extraordinary students, Maggie Brown and Mason Maxim. These strong, eloquent women are here to share their experiences with the PAD Project and producing this documentary alongside Melissa and their other talented classmates. I know you'll find their stories both inspiring and instructive to help you bring your own projects to life, be it in your classroom or your community. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Melissa Burton and her students, Maggie and Mason. I want to start with you, Melissa. We are sitting in your classroom. You're an English teacher at Oakwood School, and I love the history of the school. Tell us about this very unique school right here in Los Angeles.
I love Oakwood School, and I think that it started with a kind of spirit of rebellion and progressive education and the idea that we take students seriously and that students can teach teachers, and that's certainly what happened. The school began with parents who were actually, some of them were blacklisted screenwriters. I think there's always been a focus on the arts, a focus on human right education, and the idea that the whole student needed to be taken seriously.
I love that the idea of blacklisted screenwriters, because you're taking on issues that often are taboo. So take us back to this wonderful group of high school women that you had rallied, who suddenly had a mission.
This began, I guess, 6.5 years ago, exactly. I always actually noticed the students of mine who seemed to have a particularly feminist bent or will read things like A Doll's House, and students will identify with Nora. Her husband says, your duty is to your husband and to your children. And she says, but I have another duty as well. And he says, well, what's that? And she says, I have a duty to myself. And that was actually shocking at the time that she said that, for a woman to put herself before her husband and even before her children. So two students were acting out the scene, and later those students said to me, hey, Melissa, would you be the faculty sponsor for a group called Girls Learn International, which is an organization dedicated to equal access to education for all genders, particularly in developing countries where girls are less educated than boys. Not knowing that this would become my life, I said, sure, yes, glad to be faculty sponsor for a group called GLI. So another thing that Girls Learn International does is they send students to the United Nations at the Annual Commission on the Status of Women so that girls can be advocates on the floor of the UN advocating for human rights. And there, the students and I learned about this issue of girls dropping out of school once they began to menstruate. We learned about Morgan Anthem, the inventor of the pad machine, and we decided at once that we were going to send a pad machine to our partner school, and we were going to make a documentary film. And then the 6.5 year journey began in earnest.
Melissa, we are so honored to have two of your beautiful and brilliant students with us who are activists and they're advocates. They are going to change the world. So I want to start with Maggie. I know when this project started, a lot of these concepts that have become your life now hadn't even affected you personally. So let's go backwards to what it was like to be a young girl during this journey and realizing I'm going to be part of something I haven't even experienced yet.
So when I first joined this project, I was 12, and it's a project about periods, but it was like ironic because like I hadn't gotten my period. Like, of course, I knew what it was, but I was like so scared to say the word period, and like now I'm like on a podcast like talking about it like with 50 countries like listening. But I remember we were shooting what we thought was going to be a version of the film that we were actually going to be in, but we decided not to use that because we thought that the story wasn't really about us. We wanted to help make it happen, the story, but the story that needed to be told and needed to be heard was not our story. And so our original draft, they were filming us and they were like, so can you please talk about, have you gotten your period? And I was like, no, like I haven't gotten my period. And they're like, can you please say it louder? And I was like I haven't gotten my period. And I was like so scared. And they were like filming me and they're like, I need you to say the full sentence, please, and look at the camera. And that, like, I'll never forget that moment because now, you know, like years later, we've done so many things, and like, you know, our English teacher spoke at the Oscars about periods, and we're talking every day. We talk like at the dinner table, we were constantly talking about it. And to think that I couldn't even say the word period 3 years ago when I first joined is crazy.
Words have power. Your teacher's an English teacher, I'm an English teacher. I want you to talk about when you guys were thinking about, do we call it period or menstruation? How did you as young women decide this is what we're gonna call it? We're gonna own the words and then speak those words.
When it came to the title, there were a lot of different ideas, some of them surrounding things that were said in the film, and some of us just came up with the idea period, and we were just gonna name the film period, and we added the end of sentence part later. But I think that the title itself is so powerful, and especially like looking at the poster, it's behind me in the room right now, but just seeing the word period written across the poster kind of just already starts a conversation in itself. And I think that it's really powerful to like look at that and know that even for me and Maggie and I, it was a struggle to even say that word, to think that we've come far enough to actually look at it, you know, every day and have that on our poster and have to say it every time we talk about our film. Just kind of shows how far we've come in breaking that taboo and breaking the stigma, even within our own community and our own group, like our own PAD Project Club at Oakwood, our own PAD Project group of students who have been working on this project for so long.
And kind of adding on to what you were saying about the title, it kind of has like three meanings to it. One is obviously because the film's about periods, but the end of sentence, because a period should end a sentence, not a girl's education. And then also because we wanted this to show the world that a period should not be a sentence that women have to face. So it shouldn't be something to be ashamed of. It shouldn't be something that like sentences you to not be able to do what everyone else can because of something that's completely normal.
So I want you, Mason, to imagine a class in an underdeveloped country. It could be India, where your film was shot, or in any of the countries that we have listeners. Why was it so important for you as a teenager to say, I want to empower young people
to make choices.
I think one of the most important things to note is that misinformation and education is a huge issue all over the world, even in our own country. We've spoken firsthand with women and girls here who have experienced period poverty within their schools and within their communities. Women on Skid Row don't have access to menstrual products. Women in a lot of public schools all over the country don't have access to menstrual products. So it's definitely a problem that faces more than developing countries. But I think that the thing that really pushed me to join this project and be a part of this whole experience was the fact that I felt so grateful having parents and having an education where I had learned about periods, learned about menstruation. I've never felt shame around my period coming from my family or my friends. And when I really learned about the deep-rooted stigma and issue that face women and girls worldwide, even, you know, around the corner from me or in my own neighborhood, it's really important to me to help other people not feel shame about a bodily function. And I think that joining this project not only helped me do that, but also helped me discover shame that I didn't know was there within my own feelings and emotions towards my period and towards being a woman. So being a part of this has really helped me come into my own, as well as meet really amazing people who all have really amazing stories. The women in the film, Sneha and Suman, they actually came, and I've met them now twice, once in India and once here when they came for the Oscars. And they constantly changed my life, and I still talk to them a lot, you know, text them. And it's so amazing to see these people who live so far away from me, and yet a project that we were both a part of, Sneha, Suman, and I, a project that we were all a part of, actually made a difference, and that these women had opportunities and I had opportunities that I never would have had before.
Maggie, I want to go back to something you said earlier. What you were able to do in making this film was to say to the world that it was bigger than Oakwood, bigger than you, bigger than your teacher and your colleagues, and you were putting a face to the faceless and a voice to the voiceless. Why was it so important for you to tell a story that is a global story that affects women everywhere?
So besides the fact that our connections through Girls Learn International, which led us to Action India, which just happened to be the perfect place for the pad machine and for the film to take place, besides the fact that that all led us there, I think it's really important for women and girls across the globe to see that this happens not just to you. Like, you're not alone. You're not the only person that this happens to, and it happens everywhere. And I think, you know, a main part of this project that has kind of always been something that we've always been so aware of from the start is that we are in a very privileged community, and we have had the privilege to go to Oakwood, which is a private school, and if we needed supplies for our periods, they were always there for us, and we didn't have to worry about the fact that we couldn't afford it, or the fact that if we went to a store, it would have to be wrapped almost in the same way that, like, a drug deal would be wrapped, because it was so taboo and it was so unspoken.
What I love about all of you is you're so humble in the face of something that's so huge. I mean, your project won an Academy Award. You stood on a stage at the Oscars, and yet you're so humble. So I'm going to go to your teacher. I think that humility probably starts with you. How did you, as an English teacher, clearly the lessons of life were equal to the lessons of a Shakespearean sonnet. So tell me about, as an English teacher, how did you weave these lessons of life into this classroom that we're sitting in right now?
I think that because I didn't know what I was doing, it's freeing in a way, because this is a new journey for me. And I think that when I went to the United Nations with my students and I learned about what happened, I was sort of dumbstruck and ashamed of my own ignorance about this. And so I just felt so personally moved. And I knew for my students that I am around students who are at the age where they're about to begin menstruating. I see, as a teacher, you see, like, hey, do you have, you know, I need to go to the restroom. Can you slip me a pad or whatever it is? And I think that sort of because I was at the intersection of both being around young women all the time and then hearing these stories about young women who couldn't go to school because forced child marriage or having health problems or the boys valued more in their family than the girl was, I just felt like we have to do something about this, and that young women are going to be the very best and most convincing advocates to do this. And of course they are, and they were, and their enthusiasm and their bravery has carried the day the whole way. And the two students here are sick of hearing me say this, perhaps, but it's funny because when we started to talk about the PAD project at Oakwood, and we started to we have a thing called town meeting, which is in effect a whole school assembly. And so when we started the project, the students said, teachers are called by their first name here. So they said, Melissa, you know, we're going to go up a town meeting and we're going to talk about bringing a pad machine. We're going to talk about what it's like to get a period and we need to do a pad machine. I said, no, no, no. Please don't, because I think the mother in me, or generationally, I felt like the students were setting themselves up to be embarrassed or to be the targets of shame and being made fun of, and I couldn't bear that. But then I had to look inward and see that I was like putting my own shame onto that, and they are brave. And so that's just one of the many ways that they've sort of pushed the dial for me and brought it forward, and they did. I think that as an English teacher, I'm always inspired on a very personal level about the stories that we read. And we read the Mahabharata, which has a character named Draupadi. This is the famous Indian epic, and she's shamed on the day of her period, and she's dragged by the hair by a rival family. They try to undress her. And because her dharma is violated, Krishna saves her, and her robe goes on for miles and miles and miles, and she cannot be undressed because her human right has been violated. We read this story with ninth graders, and there's always tittering laughter in the class or awkwardness about Draupadi and what happens. And I think reading that for so many years, I feel moved and inspired by her strength, by the strength of the women characters that I read about. We talk about, we were reading the Odyssey, and this journey very much like an Odyssey of twists and turns, and every time we thought we couldn't make it home, we made it here. And so there's been all kinds of obstacles and challenges, but I think the nature of teaching, and I think the nature of teaching literature and seeing how far back the history goes and how human the story is, what unites women around the world more than that we all menstruate, and this rite of passage is what brings life. And why in the world should any of us be shamed for what is the source of life and strength? It just seemed like the right thing to do. It seemed like this is a story that needed to be writ large and that young students could do it.
So before we came to your school, we gathered the Freedom Riders and we watched Netflix, where your incredible Academy Award winning film is now playing. And watching the documentary with Freedom Riders, they were very audible. There'd be ahas, and I could see some of my beautiful girls in every shape, size, and color wiping away tears. Paint a picture for a listener who has not seen the film, how your film starts out.
The most powerful part about the beginning of the film is the fact that any woman who watches it can feel the shame that the girls are feeling when they're sitting there talking about their own periods. And it really just does an amazing job on commenting on this worldwide taboo and stigma. And I think the first time that I ever watched it, for me, it was obviously very, very emotional to watch the whole film for the first time because I had been working on the project for a long time. But watching the first part of the film for the first time really made me reflect on my own shame and kind of everything that led me to actually join this project and how much I've grown while working on the project. So I think that throughout the rest of the film does a really great job of breaking down that shame that you feel at the beginning, asking why, and then working towards solving and fixing and kind of mending that shame that has been so drilled into us since we were very, very young. I think that it's in itself is the most powerful part about the film, is that it really appeals to each individual and each woman and all the different aspects of shame that come when you start menstruating or, you know, just growing up and being a girl.
Maggie, talk about the difference of the men in your life, your dad and your brother, and the men in this film, knowing the young girls in this particular village didn't have men who would talk to them and make them feel okay.
Yeah, so I have been so lucky to have an amazing family, and especially the boys or men in my family have always been super supportive. But even at Oakwood, there is some sort of like culture that it is like a little bit awkward, and things have been changing because of the film and because we've been talking about it. Like for me personally, I know we had this thing called immersion, which is like a 2-week program where you can like learn about a special topic. And I got my period and I was like, oh no, like I don't have anything, so I had to go to the store. And there was like this huge bus of all the kids in my grade outside, and there were like all the boys in the store. And I actually waited for all of them to go onto the bus before I bought a box of pads. And I was like, wait a second, like I'm part of this project about empowering women to be fine with their period. And these women in this movie that we helped to make are talking so freely about this, but I couldn't even buy a box of pads. Like, what does that say about me, you know? And through this project, I've grown so much from not being able to say the word period to not being able to buy pads to now being able to speak about it. And I think just when you see the film and you see the men, you kind of can see growth in the film too, because it is 2 separate trips. It's like 6 months later. And so you can see growth, and at the end of the film, you see the men, like, one of the men in the film is like, I made a good pad. Like, I went to the machine, and I made a good pad. And so you can see things are starting to change, and it's hard to believe that there's still, even for people working on the project, the shame is still there, and we're working really hard to eliminate that, but it would be hypocritical if I said that I had never experienced shame, because even while working on this project, I still felt shame.
I think what was amazing, Melissa, watching the film, these women didn't have any kind of feminine hygiene products during their menstruation cycle. So they were taking cloth and then trying to discard it in the fields, and they were so ashamed, they stopped going to school. And then the women were empowered to make their own pads. So can you explain to the listeners what the creation of this pad project was in India as these women were actually creating their own pads?
So at first, and this is depicted in the film, at first they had to kind of smuggle the machine in a way. There was a lot of excitement because in this little village, you know, our film crew was extremely small, but still, these are people who are not from the village. They're not Indian, and they're coming to this village, and they're coming to film this machine that no one quite knows what it is. We work with an NGO in India named Action India, and they had identified the women in the village who would be ready to work on the machine and whose families would be receptive. So the machine was set in the largest house in the village, in a room in that house, and there was a training that went on. And when the village knew that some person from South India had come to train these women, and there were people filming the training, what is this? They all had to say that this was a Huggies diaper machine, that this was a machine that was making diapers for the children, because that way it protected the women from admitting that it was about periods. It was quote unquote women's work. So it's okay to do something if it's for a baby rather than go out and make money in something that might be man's work. This made it sort of okay for the women to work at a machine that would be making diapers for babies. What could be more maternal? And then they could bring home some money to help the household. Gradually, it came to light in the machine that these were pads and this was about menstruation. And there was a village level education on what menstruation is. And as Muruganatham, the inventor of the machine, says in the film, mother doesn't talk to daughter, wife doesn't talk to husband, menstruation is the biggest taboo in my country, is what he says. And so I think in the village, periods themselves became destigmatized, where cloth gradually for this village gave way to the pads. And then for me personally, the most poignant line in the film is when they're in a village. So the village where the film was shot was actually one of the wealthiest villages of these very, very rural villages. And some of the film was shot in neighboring villages, which were less progressive than the village where the pad machine was housed. And there's a group of women and they're making some food and they're sitting there. And the person who's conducting the interviews in the film says, oh, have you heard about the pad machine over in Katikara? And they said, yes, we've heard about it. Is there another job there? I'd really like to work there. And it just breaks my heart because you could just see the desire to have agency, to make some money, to work at something that feels like it's going to bring you forward in the world. And so that's the goal, to empower women and to break the stigma around menstruation.
I love at the end of the film, there's a tagline that says that you students did bake sales, a Kickstarter, and a yogathon. So you guys had skin in the game. Can you talk about what that was like to be raising money for this incredible project? What is it like to tap into your network? And would you encourage listeners to follow in your footsteps?
Yeah, I think that we live in a day and age where it's so easy to have access to large amounts of people, whether it be through social media or just family, friends, or people who live around you. And that's really how we built this whole project, off of people in our community, off of people we know, off of friends of friends. Our entire Kickstarter campaign was done through social media and through talking to people. So I think that that's so valuable, that we have this amazing network of people that we can tap into, and everyone has those people that they can find and that they can make an ask. And if you really want to do something and you're passionate about something, then the people in your life will support you and back you up on that. So I think that we got really lucky in the sense that we had so many girls involved in the project who had so many friends, and that's how we managed to kind of push our project up and get it out there. And I think everyone has that opportunity to do the same thing that we did.
There's a line the Friedemars use, that empowered women empower women. And there was a beautiful scene, a character in your film who dreamed of being a police officer. What is your hope that these young women can now do, and the opportunities that are now in front of them, because they can stay in school and they are making money?
I think it's really important that we are aware of everything that's going on because of the success of the film and the success of the machine, which is run entirely by women. Now some of the men in the village are trying to take a little bit of control away from the women. And so we have to be aware, before I say this, just like, I don't think all men, there's have been a lot of supportive men in India where the film has taken place, like, have been overwhelmingly supportive. But I think it is a little bit alarming to see that some men in the village are trying to take some control away from the women, because the whole point of the project is to empower women, and the women are being empowered and everything is fine. You know, there's not been anything crazy going on. Everyone's doing fine. But I think it's just important for us to be aware. We want to make sure that we're sensitive of every community, because the reason why it took so long for a pad machine to be implemented is because we've really worked with the community for 7 years, you know, and the women in India from Action India have been working for 30 something years to make sure that this can happen. And, you know, we can't just put a pad machine everywhere that there should be one. And we've gotten like thousands of emails with people saying this is their story and they want a pad machine too. But I think it's such a personal process that you really have to consider all the factors, because every situation is different.
Well, like Maggie was saying, each pad machine needs to be extremely personalized to the place that it's going, and that's why it does take so long to put it in there. The pad machine itself really needs to be sustainable. There's really no point in putting a pad machine into a village if it's not going to be beneficial for every woman working on it and for every woman in that community. The point of the pad machine is to not only break the stigma, but also supply women with jobs, income, independence. You know, it's supposed to be a whole package deal, a whole package thing that a village not only needs, but wants. So I think no matter how many emails we get, each process is going to have to be extremely particular and make sure that the pad machine is going somewhere, that it's going to work and be successful. And I think that's a lot of what we have worked so long and so hard to actually, you know, make sure everything goes right and everything is wanted. The PAD project itself is built off of young women and young girls, and we really want to keep it within us. And, you know, none of these machines would be successful without the women in the village. And like Melissa was saying, Action India had to go in before and make sure there were women who actually wanted to work on these machines. So everything is a two-way street. Everything that we do is a partnership that's carefully thought out. It's a hard process, a difficult process, but it's very worth it.
Melissa, for you as a female teacher with female students, What has been the response from your male students? Do they want to join? Do they want to be activists? Are they advocates as well?
It's a little age related. So my ninth grade students that I teach are a little shyer, very respectful though, absolutely. And the older male students are more comfortable. We're in a classroom and there's a movie poster on the wall of my classroom. And I did wonder to myself whether that might alienate or feel uncomfortable for some of my ninth grade boys to be in a classroom with a poster that says period, end of sentence. But I don't think anybody's the worse for it. One thing that's been really, I've actually had in parent-teacher conferences and the like, I've had a lot of fathers thank me, not that I should be thanked, but say, you know what, I was able to talk to my daughter about something I would have felt shy talking to her about, and now this film was able to open up a conversation with my daughter, and I'm really grateful for that. And I thought that's something, you know, who could predict that? But I felt like that was just a kind of a wonderful observation that was made to me a number of times.
So, Mason, tell me about the young men at your school. Have you opened this project up to the men that are interested in being advocates with you?
Yeah, so I actually think the best example of this would probably be my younger brother. He is actually starting at Oakwood in seventh grade next year. And he's actually taken the time to create a presentation about the PAD project for his school. He came to India with us as a family, and he's very, very interested in joining and being involved in the project. So I'm very proud of him for that. And also just within our grade, or my grade specifically, I'm a 10th grader, all the male students, I've seen the attitude around menstruation, around women's rights, change tremendously throughout the time that the PAD project has existed at Oakwood. And I think there's much more of an open conversation around female issues. And I've noticed throughout my time here that men's issues have always been talked about in a very open way, in a way that female issues were not. And I think that with the existence of this project, periods have become something that are talked about more openly, that, you know, the men in our grade understand, that they accept. And for me personally, I used to like hide my tampon when I went to go change it in the bathroom. I'd put it up my sleeve, you know, I'd hide it. But I think that with this project, I've learned to not be ashamed, and I no longer have to do that. And I also feel like there isn't as much shame coming from my male classmates as there used to be. And also that shame and grief, it doesn't only come from men, it also comes from women. So just recognizing it is just the first step towards solving the issue, to recognize it, to open a conversation. This is the whole point of our film, the whole point of our nonprofit, is to facilitate a conversation without having to like awkwardly begin it. You know, there's a film, there's something that will open this conversation for everyone.
And also adding on to what Mason was saying, I think it's important to also close the conversation. If you hear someone saying like, oh, like watch out for her, like she's on her period, or like it's her time of the month, you know, like if you hear something like that, say something and don't just kind of like go along. Like that's not okay, and that only adds to the taboo and only adds to shaming women because of something that's completely normal. So if you hear it, say something.
I want to ask, Melissa, for you as a teacher, have you seen, in light of the women's movement, specifically now with the Me Too movement, marching on Washington after the recent election, that your students are more open to being empowered as young women as maybe they were when you and I were growing up? If you think about how many women right now are actually running for president, that's such a different trajectory than when we were young women. So talk about how that shift has happened as the tides are changing and women feel more empowered to do all the things that your young women are doing. What does that feel like as a teacher?
It feels fantastic, and I think that it's true. I've taught for over 2 decades, and I definitely notice a difference. I do feel like this whole upswell of Me Too and Time's Up is absolutely in the ether now, and that's why I think it was such a wonderful and important time for this film to be on the world stage, because after all, it begins with the beginning, and that's life, and that's menstruation. And if we can't sort of look at that and be face front with that, then, you know, what else?
I'm gonna start with Maggie. What does that feel like to be an activist at your age and bringing such attention to such a global issue?
Well, I think as far as like marching and protesting, just the women in my family have always shown me that it's important if you believe something to stick up for it and to actually do something about it. And if you have a dream or you have something that you want to make a reality, then you have to do it yourself. But kind of adding on to what Melissa was saying earlier, I think it's been really interesting because while our community has been super supportive of everything that's going on, there has been like a few people that have been not as supportive. We were recently working on the tampon tax, which is a huge issue because, you know, things like condoms and Viagra are not taxed, whereas pads and tampons are taxed. And they're not a luxury, like they're a necessity. And we made announcements about that. We made petitions. And, you know, some people in our community were saying, what are you talking about? Like, that's not true. And there's been like some pushback about that, which was really interesting because they were like, well, everyone can afford these products. And I'm like, well, just because you can and you're privileged enough to be able to doesn't mean that everyone can. And so that's really important constantly for us to remind our community. It's so empowering.
One of the wonderful things that the Freedom Rider females asked me to share with you is several of my Freedom Riders were homeless. And that's mortifying. If you're a young teenage girl and you don't have clean clothes, you don't have access to a shower, and you certainly don't have access to pads and tampons. And that's the most embarrassing thing, is trying to find that bathroom and using toilet paper or soiling your clothes. So you really are giving a voice to young women everywhere, even right here in the United States. So Mason, when you are marching or rallying or are on a stage, what are you specifically hopeful will happen because of the PAD Project?
I think the PAD Project is just one step in the greater women's movement, just for overall equity and acceptance and inclusion of all people. And I think that feminism goes beyond just the equality of men and women, it goes to equality of all people. And I think that a lot of times people forget that that's really what feminism is about at the end of the day, is just equality. And I think that having the opportunity to be a part of this has made me realize that I can do so much in my life, and there are so many things that are possible for me that I never thought were possible before. And I can't wait to be a part of the PAD Project for as long as I possibly can, and hopefully push myself to do other really great things and participate in other great things and do something bigger than myself. It's also really important just to thank Melissa for being so amazing and inspiring, and the fact that she's an English teacher, she has a full-time job as a teacher, and then she also has a full-time job basically running a nonprofit at this point is really amazing and empowering. And I'm so proud of her, and I'm so happy to have been a part of this project and to be a part of this project. That's really what it means to me, is just one step closer to the greater goal of equality for everyone.
Just adding on to that, I totally agree about, you don't have to be female to be a feminist. I think our community really shows that to be a feminist is just really someone who wants equal rights for genders. And it's not just a woman or a girl, it's everyone.
Mason and Maggie both put it brilliantly. It comes down to equality, but you were talking about the difference in maybe our generation and students' generation, and there's definitely feminazi. Oh, feminists are humorless and strident and bossy and blah, blah, blah. I think that the best way, honestly, to combat it is by these young women who are so inspiring, and clearly in the face of their courage and their authenticity, how can you begin to say that any of that is wrong? And the women in the film who enact what feminism is. I just think it comes to getting used to it and getting comfortable with it and owning it. And I think that's what these young activists are doing.
As young activists, what is your goal? You were still in high school, but I see this future. You're going to continue to be an activist fighting the good fight. So for you, what does the good fight entail?
So I'm a freshman in high school right now, so it has been like a little bit difficult trying to constantly be involved in this project and also like manage schoolwork. But I think in the future, obviously, like Mason was saying earlier, I want to continue to be fully involved in the PAD Project. Right now, we're working a lot on setting up the nonprofit so that it is successful, so that we can grow it to as big as we possibly can. And we obviously want to put in pad machines because we've gotten so many requests. Also looking at newer machines so that more pads can be made. And also sustainable solutions, things that will be friendly to our environment because we need to make sure that we prioritize that.
So I think for the future, for me, the future of the PAD project, I really want to be involved in it for as long as I possibly can. Like Maggie said, I enjoy every second of it. And if I can kind of use the PAD project as a jumping off point, as a beginning point, and maybe hopefully just do something even better, whether that be working with nonprofits or maybe in politics or in medicine of some sort. I really want to dedicate my life to doing work that I'm passionate about and work that is fulfilling for those around me. That would be the most successful version of my life I could possibly think of.
How can our listeners, wherever they are in all the 50 countries we serve, how can they support and how can they be a part of this incredible project?
If you want to learn more about the project or you want to donate or become a part of it, you can go to thepadproject.org.
And one of the main things is right now we are saving money to put towards pad machines in the future. Also, you're really just helping us build our nonprofit, build our infrastructure, really make sure that everything that we do is done properly and done right to actually ensure the success of future pad machines, to ensure the success of the pad machines that are already existing. I know that right now we're also looking to raise money for solar panels for our existing machine in Katakara, and beyond that, also a new machine which can produce more pads for more people to meet the demand that we are seeing now.
Melissa, what would your call to action be to teachers around the globe who want to do something big and do something bold? How could you encourage them to find a project of their own, and make that project come to life?
I would say trust the people around you, be inclusive, collaborate, organize, dream big. I think enthusiasm, passion to take the young voices absolutely seriously. I think we began by talking about that. If you're a teacher and you want to embark on something that feels large, people will have different ideas and different ways to go about it. But as long as you all have this same grand idea and this mission, all of those different ideas and viewpoints are gonna make your mission stronger and better. Stick with it. You're on the right path. Just do it.
Maggie, there's a student in the corner of a classroom and they're listening to you and they are freshmen too and they're inspired. What would you tell that student to do or to be?
Well, I would say you never know what's going to happen, and you're definitely never too young. Even if you think you can't, you can. You just have to believe in yourself and be so passionate about what you're doing. Like, Melissa is so passionate about this issue. Like, Mason is so passionate about this issue. I'm so passionate about this issue. We had to prioritize it, and we had to make people listen, even if they didn't want to at first, or even if it was uncomfortable to talk about this topic. You can do it, and even if you think you can't or you don't know what's going to happen, we didn't know what was going to happen, and it ended up winning an Oscar, which is insane. It's crazy. Melissa's an English teacher and we're students. And, you know, the women in India, we collaborated to make this happen.
Mason, with this platform, as one woman who believes in change, can you speak to just one woman somewhere on this planet? How do you shed light? How do you make them empowered? How do you give them a voice? One woman to another woman.
Everything has to start somewhere. Like, even if it's the smallest thing you could possibly think of, even if it's just, you know, for me, like saying period out loud or saying something like that out loud, that's one step closer towards your bigger goal. And my thing would be to find women like you who think like you, to find people who think like you, to find people who believe the things that you do. And when you find those people, you can unite around one passion, around one thing, and take those small steps together in order to reach a greater goal. And like Maggie was saying, you know, we never even thought, like, I remember sitting in a meeting with everyone involved in the PAD project, a lot of the girls who have graduated already, and just talking about our future. We had finished the film, and we were like, oh, maybe we'll get accepted to one film festival, maybe we'll get accepted to two, you know, it'd be really cool if we got accepted to three. So just thinking about how far we've come and how we just took those little steps one at a time, and it was a very, very long and difficult process, but none of us gave up. All of us kept pushing forward through hardships, through struggles, through arguments. You know, we worked collaboratively, we worked through it all, and, you know, that's really just because we were all passionate about one central issue that we knew we wanted to change.
I'm so grateful to these inspiring women for sharing their stories with us. If you'd like to learn more about the PAD Project, we've put a link to their website in this episode's show notes. Their documentary, Period, End of Sentence, is now available to stream on Netflix. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to support the show, please give us a review and share it with someone that you think will benefit from our meaningful messages and thought-provoking guests. May we all seek to empower the women in our lives and work towards greater equity for all. Once again, I'm your host, Erin Gruwell. This episode was produced and edited by Bryce Sirier and Rob Falk. Thank you so much for joining us. And until next time, dear listeners, may you write what needs to be written and tell what needs to be told.